Welcome to day 160 of the story that changes everything. Our readings for today are Job chapters 28 through 30. Here are some thoughts to guide your reading for today. Chapter 28 serves as a kind of break in the action. It seems to be a separate discourse from either the speeches of the friends or the responses of Job. It's probably best to read this chapter as a hinge focused on the nature of wisdom and the challenges of finding it before then moving on to the closing section or sections of the book. The first section of the chapter, verses 1 through 11, describe the challenge, the art, and the human ingenuity or technology that went into the ancient practice of mining. The most sought-after materials in the ancient world were silver, gold, iron, and copper. But extracting them from the earth was risky and required miners to be lowered down into shafts where they would dangle and sway suspended from ropes. We can read this chapter not as just part of the human quest for precious and valuable materials, but also as a kind of celebration of human ingenuity and technological creativity. But the second section, verses 12 through 19, compare the value of wisdom and the search for it to the search for costly minerals and gems. Humans go to great lengths and effort to pursue what is precious, but can they find wisdom and understanding through their ingenuity and technology? The obvious answer, even today, is no. All the gold and sapphires in the world cannot buy wisdom, and all the technology cannot dig it up from the earth. The final section of the chapter, verses 20 through 28, focuses on God as the source of wisdom. Verses 23 through 24 are not only the primary verses of the chapter, but they summarize well what the primary theme of the entire wisdom tradition is. God alone knows how to find wisdom, so humanity must turn to God to obtain wisdom, which means fearing God and turning away from evil. After this brief and beautiful interlude on wisdom, Job speaks again for three chapters, summarizing his life situation. This address seems to be directed at everyone who might listen, especially his friends and God. In chapter 29, Job reminds everyone willing to hear him about the blessed life he lived before all the tragic events came his way. There was a day when Job was cared for by God and highly respected by the community. Verses 1 through 6 recount the beauty and abundance of Job's former life. Oh, if he could only go back to those good old days when God seemed close and loving and he was surrounded by his family. In those days, his life seemed like it was covered with rich cream and flowing with lavish olive oil. Verses 7 through 17 describe how respected Job felt in his community. When he went out in public, everyone treated him with respect, a respect he felt that he had earned because of the many good deeds he used to do and the many people he used to help. Rather than sitting in ashes covered in sores, Job used to wear righteousness and justice like articles of clothing. Job goes on in verses 18 through 20 to state how he thought this happy and contented life would continue for many years. Before everything fell apart, Job thought he would eventually pass away in his nest at a ripe old age, surrounded by his family and by those thankful for his care and concern in their life. The final five verses of the chapter celebrate Job's previous status as a voice of wisdom in the community. People came to him for wisdom like thirsty people with their mouths open trying to catch drops of rain. People saw Job as kind, blessed, and wise, a long way from the kind of scorn and contempt that he now feels from both his friends and strangers. He used to be treated like a chief or king, but not anymore. And it's chapter 30 that begins to describe Job's new broken reality. He has lost everything. His reputation is gone. His ability to help others is gone. The respect of others for him is gone. Verses 1 through 15 narrate the abuse Job receives from others. In a culture in which the young were expected to show respect to the old, he is now mocked, even by children. People on the lowest rungs of the ladder of life delight in making fun of Job, who they now see as lower than themselves. People whom others avoid now avoid Job. If they come near him, it's only so they can spit on him. He lives in fear now of those who constantly try to attack him. Job places the blame squarely on God, whom he believes has crushed him without reason. Then in verses 16 through 23, Job lays out his complaint against God. God is the source of his pain. The vitality Job once had for life is gone. God isn't listening to Job's cries. Instead, he's hiding from Job. Job feels as though God has jerked him up off the ground and flung him about in the winds of a storm. The logical next stop for Job is Sheol. Job goes on to complain in the final verses, verses 24 through 31, that if God truly cares about his creatures, he would help them in their distress. Job helped others in their time of need, but God and the community have abandoned him. His insides are in turmoil. He lives alone in the wilderness as a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. The happy music of his previous life is now just a continual funeral dirge. These chapters in which Job describes his life and pain are filled with passion and agony. I couldn't help but thinking and reading this last chapter in particular of the way our culture loves to raise people up only to then tear them down. It's not unusual for people to experience that kind of Job-like dramatic reversal, especially in a social media age. It's easy for communities to quickly gang up on and alienate someone. Even in situations where a person deserves some form of judgment, one wonders if, though, they deserve the kind of abandonment and spite and sometimes even violence that can often occur. I can think of all kinds of people who can place themselves in Job chapter 30. Who are those people that you know who are living in Job chapter 30 today? And how can you be a source of healing for them rather than an added source of scorn and shame? It's really hard to hear Job's pain. It makes me anxious for God or for really anyone to respond. Tomorrow, we hear the end of Job's self-defense, and still, before God speaks, we're introduced to one more character in the book. We meet the character of Elihu. So, our chapters for tomorrow are Job chapters 31 through 33, and we're adding Psalm 68. I'll talk to you tomorrow.